Hi, and welcome to part 5 of the MVC storefront. This is a real-world application building exercise where we're building out an e-commerce storefront using ASP.NET MVC. My name is Rob Connery and I work for Microsoft. My email is robcon@microsoft.com. Please send me an email if you have any questions, or you can leave a comment on this blog. What I'd like to do is to start off talking about some feedback that I received on my blog and my email with regards to the part 4, which is the way we're dealing with linked to SQL and our model. A lot of folks think that the way that we're mapping the linked to SQL objects up into our model might be a little bit too complicated, and there might be too much abstraction there for what is actually needed. Now, I agree with that in terms of the simplistic spike that I did. It was only 4 tables, and I only did one spike on one little table that actually mapped straight across. So I can see how that wouldn't make too much sense at first glance. However, what I do think is that given some client interactions, as we move forward, my database is quickly going to outpace that of what is on my model. So what I want to do is to be able to grow my database without having to interrupt the way that my model is structured and the way my application flows. This may not make sense right off the bat, but I have some examples today of some interactions I had with a fictional client that might make this make a little bit more sense. First thing I think I want to do is to introduce the fictional client to you, who isn't really so fictional after all, and that client is actually me. Now, before you cry foul and say that a developer can't really develop their own applications, I'll say you're right. But at the same time, what I will say is that my goal here is to reproduce something that I produced long ago, which is the Commerce Starter Kit for ASP.NET 2.0. I had a lot of great meetings and discussions with people using this application, and I felt like it was honed into a really cool implementation of an e-commerce site. Yes, I know it could use some work, but I really think that driving towards this initial spec will serve a lot of the people for a lot of the things that they need with respect to e-commerce. What's also important to me is that I approximate real-world interactions as well. I can be my own client, but I also want to be my own worst nightmare. So what I want to do here is I want to introduce the concept of the curveball, and I literally did this. I have an internal set of data that was handed to me that it had to do with an old demo site that was scrapped a long time ago. The team put together some real test data, and they also put together some pictures and other things that they thought I could use for this e-commerce site. I glanced over it, but I didn't go too deeply into it. Instead, what I did is I hid it on my hard drive, and I thought, well, what I'm going to do is sabotage myself as we move forward and see if I can approximate what I think is a very real scenario with respect to meeting with your client. So let's set the scene. Today my phone rings, I pick it up, it's the client. Let's ignore the fact that I'm talking to myself for right now. And the client says to me, I finally got the sample data that you've asked for. I say, hooray, because I have a demo that's sitting here waiting for you, and I'd like to use some data that you recognize. And they say, sure, I'm going to send it over. I hope XML is okay. And I'm sure this is going to shock you a lot, but the data that they sent over varied pretty significantly with the data that I was expecting to receive based on the use cases. Now, if I was being completely agile about this, what I probably would have done is to talk at length with the client first, get the stories down so I don't deviate too much. But since we're agile, I'm flexible, I welcome change. So here's the sample data, and what I quickly realized is that the concept of globalization does not exist in this data. However, the client has said that's insanely important to them. They've also mentioned that they want everything on the page to be globalized, including the category name and the product descriptions. So the task I have ahead of me right now is to import the client's data with an eye towards globalization. First thing I want to do is to make sure my database can accommodate not only the test data that the client gave, but also the notion of globalization in the way that they're interested in seeing it, which is with regards to the product as well as the category. They want to be sure that people that come to their site can see everything on the site according to the language of the place that they live in. So that's a task before me right now. To help me out with globalization, I called on my friend Damien Gard. Damien's a developer that lives in the UK and for the last 4 years has been working with a company that is dealing specifically with globalization issues. It's not as easy as a lot of people may think. Technically, it's not too much of a challenge, but administratively, it can be quite a burden. So what I want to do is talk to someone who knows a lot more about this than I do. So Damien and I got on Skype together and also did a shared view session where he was able to look at my desktop and the schema of the database. We talked about a great many things, and the schema that I ended up with, I think, is a very nice first start. start. So many thanks to Damien for his help today. So let's take a look at the existing model that I have. If I come up here to my data project and I open up the diagram in here, you can see that it's pretty simplistic. And this is kind of what I stubbed out as I moved along. So notice here that I have a category and a product and review and a description. And I also have inside the description the concept of a locale. Well, after my discussion with Damien today, that changed an awful lot. Specifically, if we come in here to the diagram, you can see that the catalog has now expanded dramatically. I'll be sure to post this schema up with the source when I publish it tonight. But what I want to point out here is that in order to enable globalization, you can see here that I have to put a lot of things into the concept of a culture-driven one-to-many. So in this case, what I'm doing is I'm making sure that the description and short description, as well as the unit price, are aware of the culture that they're in. In addition, what you can see here is that I have a many-to-many now between categories and products. I also have an images table to handle the images that are going to be coming in from the sample data. Each category, it turns out, has an image associated with it as well. And it can also have more than one, so I have a many-to-many relationship there. And in addition, I have a many-to-many between products and images. And as you can see, the schema has gotten quite detailed. Now my question is, do I want to have Link to SQL ripple this right back into my application? The answer is no. What I do want to do is continue with my way here that I've done in the previous webcast of coming into my repository and mapping that back. There's a lot of things I can do with these transforms. Specifically, what I can do is set up a join with a query to tell the culture, the current UI culture, so I don't have to put that back into my service. There's a lot of things I can do by abstracting this, and this is the reason why I put everything into a model that's completely lifted off the concept of the database. The first thing I want to do is open up my link catalog, and I'm going to adjust it here. I'm going to remove these four tables that I have in here. And again, keep in mind, this is just a query interface. I'm not going to be using these generated objects. So right now what I'm going to do is regenerate all of this. Okay, this is my new Link to SQL kind of overview here. I've just dragged and dropped every single table inside of there. So if I come over here and I build the data application right now, we'll notice that we're going to have a little bit of a problem. So what I need to do in here is I need to rewrite this code to accommodate for the current UI culture. So if I look back here at my repository, you'll notice that categories link over to a culture detail. And the reason why I've done it this way is I want to show category name by a given language. If by chance you have a store that has German or Croatian or whatever, the categories need to match up as well. So what I want to do right now is I want to be able to pull out the category culture detail, which right now is just the category name, based on the current culture. So let's add that code in. Okay, here is the refactored code that allows for multicultural category names. The first thing I did is I wanted to set up an iQueryable that basically goes to the category culture details table. That holds all the multicultural, multi-language category names. And I wanted to pull it out according to the current UI culture. And I'm going to use the two-letter ISO language name, which is EN for English or ES for Spanish, etc. And I basically wanted to just pull that back out as an iQueryable. I wanted to take that iQueryable now and I wanted to add it to my existing category query, so I can make sure I can spread the logic out between those three tables. Next thing I did is I mapped the new category name here to the name mapping, and then I'm ready to go. Now notice I didn't do anything, if I come back here to my category class, I didn't do anything to this class. If we look at the diagram, the class is still the same. What I want to make sure of is that the test doesn't change. Now this is a spike again. I'm running a spike test here. So if I come into my spike test, nothing has changed. This is exactly as it should have been. So if I run this test right now using the debugger, I shouldn't notice any change in my database schema. And I notice that I get the categories and everything maps just fine. I want to ask for the list of categories back. It works just fine. Now if I hover over this and I open this up down here, you'll notice now that the data has been returned as I expected it to be. And if I run my test, everything works and everything passes. The only thing that doesn't pass is this name here, and that's because I've changed the data. So if I come down here to the culture detail and show you the table data that I've added to accommodate this, you can see that I've appended US in here. So what I want to do, and I've also associated it to culture ID number 1, which is also in US. So what I want to do is I want to change this now. I want to change it to this value and make sure that it passes. Again, this is a spike. This is not necessarily straight up TDD development. So if I run this test, everything should pass as it should. And it does. Well, as I was hoping, the architectural model here where we're talking to the database using iQueryable is starting to pay off. As you can see, the schema is getting a little bit more complicated, but I don't need to worry about that in my model. This isn't to say that Link to SQL can't handle it, but for sure I know that an e-commerce website, the database will grow and will spiral. And so in this case, my application doesn't need to worry about it very much. Well, thanks for watching. This is the end of Part 5. Thank you.